from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Greg Brown is on the Fan Hotline right now. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And Greg is brought to you by Allegiant Federal Credit Union. Shape your future. Visit AllegiantFCU.org. Brownie, before we start on the Pirates here, we were talking a lot of Steelers and really getting into it with this team. And I want your opinion here. I think there's a chance that we had Jim Leland call in under an assumed name to give a Steelers opinion based on what we were talking about. Donnie's got it. Donnie, play it for Brownie. I think this might have been Jim Leland not wanting to out himself as a Steelers fanatic who was calling sports talk. Here we go, Donnie.
Okay.
Mike is on 93.7 The Fan. He's in Cranberry. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, I like what that one guy said. We have a really good defense, I think. I think we're going to be like top three, actually. What we added up the middle, our middle, think about last year, then think about this year, how strong our middle is.
Is that past the Jim Lee? Is that a Jim Leland call there? Did I get hit with Jim Leland?
No, but it's close. But no, that's not Jim. You actually had me thinking maybe he would do that. But no, that's not the skipper. Not bad. Fairly close, but that's not Jim.
Well, play Donnie the one sample we have for Brownie that we know is Jim Leland, and I think he'll be proven right here.
Good luck to those Buccos.
We decided just much deeper voice at the end of the day,
yeah.
Brownie.
Yeah.
A little huskier, a little more cigarette. Big tobacco has done more of an influence on Jim Leland's actual voice.
Yeah, that other guy went a little too high, and I don't think Leland could disguise his voice even if he tried. So,
Brownie, we started. You heard me talking. I know you were on the line about Ke'Bryan Hayes, and you heard what I said about specifically connecting the lack of offense to his back. Where are you at with him right now? In terms of how you've tried, I know you try to evaluate these guys. You're forming an opinion, and you're thinking about the way guys are playing or performing or not performing. Where are you personally with Ke'Bryan Hayes, knowing that there's something going on with his back that they're trying to pinpoint?
You know, Chris, when a professional athlete, with any athlete, says that he's not, there's something wrong. But two things happen that I've seen over the years, certainly in baseball, and you talk about the Steelers having done NFL stuff. Either guys try to work through an injury or pain because that's their livelihood. They don't let down their teammates, their team in general, and they'll fight through it and not say anything. Maybe until the end of a season, they might intimate that they weren't 100%. They're never 100%, I guess, at this time of year. We're talking baseball. But then the other side is they try to fight through it to the point where it's just not working. And then they finally concede. that you know, it's time to do something about it. So the other thing too is I really don't like to question whether a guy's hurt or not, because we have no idea what goes on inside.
I know you're not. It's more just that do you think the hitting is really tied to this?
I understand that. I just wanted to make that clear before I said that I think something has been wrong, and I honestly, going deep into this thing, there have been a couple of times over the last few weeks where I have seen him not go for baseballs on the field defensively that I have not called him out on, but I wondered. There was one the other day that looked like it was just a two-hopper to his left, and he just let it go, and I think what ended up being a base hit. I don't know if Cruz was at short. It was a ball that was hit in the deep shortstop hole, and guy beat it out. And I thought to myself, again, not saying anything publicly, but I thought to myself, boy, it just looked weird. Like he didn't. And so then when this came about, the back issue, and they shut him down, and I think he's done for this, you know, I think we can probably concede. That's my opinion. Get this thing right, fix it, be ready, be full healthy for next year. He's a proud guy. He wants to do well. He signed that big contract. He feels an obligation, as he should. His dad, proud of his own career, but certainly of his son, a pirate. I just think that something was amiss. Something was wrong. He didn't make an excuse, but there's something to the fact that there was no power, none. No, driving into the gap, nothing. Everything he hit was weak. I had never checked the stats on the exit velo and that kind of thing. And even before, when he wasn't necessarily crushing it over the last couple years, at least he'd have a decent exit velocity. You know, he'd barrel some balls. We didn't see any of that the past couple months. So to me, it makes sense.
Brownie, to switch gears from Hayes, and there's a couple of pitchers I wanted to ask you about, but I'll go with the guy who just threw last night. How do you characterize the last couple of starts for Luis Ortiz? It's very odd because he's gotten roughed up early. There's been, like, I've had this temptation to almost give him credit the way you do, like any old baseball guy would, about, hey, the starter got off to a bumpy start, but he battled and kept his team in the game and gave him some innings. He's basically gotten touched up in the first couple of innings, each of his last four starts, and then settled himself down and given them, you know, into the fifth or sixth inning. How do you just evaluate all that?
I think for me, it's a guy who's still learning. He's still incredibly inexperienced when it comes to major league starting pitching. You look at the number of games he's pitched in the big leagues overall, let alone as a starter, and last night was just his ninth. And it's all part of the learning process. And, the balls that Corey Seager hit were, I think, pretty much middle. And Corey Seager's having one of the best Augusts of any player in the big leagues, and it's Corey Seager, for goodness sake. So when he makes that mistake in the first inning, for him to repeat that mistake in the third, I think is it's a maturity thing, and it's learning how to become a big league pitcher. But you absolutely, for me, tip your cap for how he has settled down after maybe a rough inning early in a ball game, and how he has come back and settled down. You can't discount the part where he settles down and figures it out. I mean, he had, at one point, I think he retired three guys straight, the strikeouts in the fourth inning. I don't know that anybody had any other hits after that third inning. Maybe I think Marcus Semien had a double in the fifth. But anyway, I just think we're watching a guy mature before our very eyes, and trying to establish himself as a major league starter, at the very least, sees himself as a guy who can help the team as a starter or a swing man, long relief, short relief, whatever, but part of a pitching staff for a winning team.
Brownie, what do you anticipate, or what kind of sense do you get from talking to people around the organization, how Ben Cherington and his people want to handle the rest of this year for Jared Jones specifically?
Well, I think Jones is going to do well. He's got one rehab tonight. I'd be surprised if he didn't come back to the big leagues after this one tonight, unless something disastrous happens. He gets that pitch count up, according to Ben Cherington on Sunday. The velocity was up in his last rehab. I think he's chomping at the bit. I think he wants to get back out there. So my guess is that he comes back to the Pirates after makes a start. I don't know. They'll probably do the same thing that they've been doing with Skeens, make sure he's got 5 days rest between starts, and that would get him maybe sometime early next week against the Cubs at PNC Park is what I would guess.
Do you think it should be a priority of theirs to try to get him a pretty significant number of innings, only in the sense that they want him for as much of 2025 as they can, and knowing how they might feel about, you know, working a guy up and building a guy up, it would be in their best interest to try to pitch him a fair amount then down the stretch because he lost so much time here to this injury?
I would think so. That makes all the sense in the world to me, and they're not conceding anything yet this year.
We're getting close to that point, right? I don't want to be the negative Nancy, but everyone kind of puts me in that box anyway. It feels like we're getting very close to the point where you start conceding things.
Bruce Bochy said as much, the manager of the Texas Rangers, before their game on Sunday against the Twins. They had lost the first three games of that series, and he said almost those exact words: I'm not going to concede anything, but you also have to be realistic. And I think that's probably where they're getting close to that point. Be that as it may, we're going to see Jared Jones back in the big leagues and this year. And to your point, I think they want to absolutely get the innings up so that you don't have to think about shutting him down at all next year. Hope for a healthy season. He's up to, what, like 90 innings this year. Get a handful of starts at the big league level. Get it up there and have him be a part of the rotation from the jump in 2025 and be toward the top of that rotation and show that he can get through a full big league season and help this team win.
Last one, Brownie, because just in light of we talk about we're getting close to the point where you'd need to concede, and this particular guy, I know you probably know who I'm going to ask you about, doesn't have as few innings on his ledger. He's thrown, I think, about 127 combined at both levels this year. Paul Skeens, I kind of wonder if not a shutdown, but maybe a significant shortening of outings artificially for him coming down the stretch. If they do decide they're out of it, they might pitch him, but only go five innings in a game, perhaps, when he could go seven or eight, depending on how things were going. That feels like something else that might be on the table for him.
Yeah, and if he's up to about close to 127, 128, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's something like that. It's near 130, but I think that's about what he threw his last year at LSU and then the very little sparing minor league ball he got last year.
So then, you're probably looking somewhere but maybe between 30, 40 innings, I guess, to be careful. So you break that down and you look at how they've used him always at least 5 days between starts, at least. That would put him in line to pitch, I guess, Thursday, the home opener against the Reds. This coming homestand would be when he would start. He's not going tomorrow. And Keller goes tonight, and he has followed Keller, so they're going to give him an extra day's rest. And that would mean he's got five or six left the rest of the season, if you work that out, map it out. And so that would make sense. If he goes five starts, average around six innings a start. If he goes six, then he goes five innings per start. So I think he's got about five or six innings starts left, it sounds like to me. And that would get you around those 30 innings. That would make sense. I'd be surprised if that's not how they're mapping it out.
Greg, I don't want to say it feels like the dog days of August. I'm hoping there's one little push left. But if it is, enjoy what looks like a ballpark that is a monstrosity, at least from TV, with a very awkward camera angle tonight.
And it's dwarfed in comparison by was it AT&T where the Cowboys play next door?
The house
door?
That Jerry built?
It's unbelievable. I've never had not been there before. It is absolutely daunting. And it looks like you could fit like three of these Globe Life fields into AT&T.
Oh, it's got to fit Jerry's like what? Playground. Four Acrisure stadiums, I think, could fit into AT&T. It's ridiculous.
Is that what they say?
No, I mean, not literally, but when you watch it on TV,
it looks
like that scoreboard's about as big as the entire stadium.
Again, I didn't go inside, but we passed by it on the bus on the way. It's right there. It's right, practically right next to this new ballpark where the Rangers play, and it's crazy how just monstrous that thing is.
Brownie, we'll do it again next week. Thanks as always.
Thanks, Chris.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.